Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always
more to life.
Well, welcome back into our space of worship, into this time of celebrating the restorative work that Jesus does, that Jesus did, and that Jesus will continue to do. If you've been with us, either in person or online over the last few weeks, you know that we've been looking at stories of where God moved in ways that brought things back, brought things together. And we thought that that would just be a good word during this time and the season of the world in which we are right now. We started with that classic story of John at the seashore. You remember, he just denied Jesus three times under all the fear and pressure of the trial that was going on. And so Jesus needed to shore him back up. Jesus needed to give him purpose and meaning. Jesus needed to help him get over the guilt and the shame that he was experiencing. If you've ever been a person that's riddled with guilt and shame, you know the burden that that is to bear and the work that it would take Christ to do. We then talked about Bartimaeus, the blind man who received sight, but in some ways already had sight, even though he couldn't see with his eyes. Deneen led us in that and talked about he already had faith to understand who Jesus was. And we got to go through that moment where he threw off his cloak, threw off all of his hindrance because he just needed to be with Jesus. Last week, we went to Joseph and his family and we really focused in on what it means to find restoration in your family, in your home. To see that God can use everything that you and I have ever been through, good, bad, just, unjust, beneficial, harmful, that God can take all of that from our life and that he can bring it together to create us, to hone us, to shape us and mold us and form us to be not just the recipients of restoration, but to become the ministers of reconciliation. Can so restore us that we can then offer that gift to others. This week, our restoration story is going to take place in the midst of a healing story again. But there's so much more for us to see. I invite you to join me in prayer as we prepare our hearts for this moment. God, here we are again. We're in need of you. And some of us in this room and some of us who are watching this now and later, God, we realize that need for you. Maybe we realize it even more now than we did a year ago. God, I just ask that you would use my voice and that you would use it in ways that bring you glory. That your spirit would speak through me. And if the word that comes out of my mouth is different than the word that needs to land on someone's ear, then just transform that word, God, so that whatever needs to be heard is what is heard. God, you give us such a powerful love for you and an invitation to follow you. Let us continue to be known as a people who love you and trust you and put our faith in you in all things. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our main reading this morning is going to come from the 17th chapter of Luke. I'm going to invite you, as you're able and comfortable, to stand here or at home and hear these words from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." These are the words of God for you and me, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, the first thing that I notice about that passage is that Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Now, this is really intentional wording that Luke uses. If you go back in Luke just a little bit, back to chapter 19, you can't go back to chapter 19 from 17, but you can go back to chapter 9, and you'll find in chapter 9, verse 51 and 52, these words. As the time approached for him, Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where he's going to die. Jerusalem is going to become the epicenter for what he is here to accomplish. Jerusalem is a geographic location, but when it says that Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, this is not to tell you what his itinerary is going to be. It is that his heart, that his mind, that everything about him is resolute, locked in, focused. He has got a mission to accomplish. He has got a purpose to live out. And everything becomes connected with this moment in his life. And it's a life that Jesus, just a few verses earlier, in chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, that he invites his disciples into when he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it." Whoever wants to be a follower needs to take up their cross daily. Whoever wants to be a follower needs to get resolute about what this means to head to Jerusalem with purpose and meaning in life. I can feel this. I mean, in this season of moving from here to Athens, and in the season of being called to go forth, and in the season of sharpening and focusing and moving and listening and watching, I can feel it. It's intentional. It's like living every day on purpose. Not wasting a one, but truly living fully. Now, on this particular occasion, Jesus is going into a village, and 10 men who have leprosy meet him. Now, to be a leper in this society is to be an outcast, literally. Whether it's a minor skin disease, whether your skin's starting to flake off, whether it's so bad that you're starting to lose fingertips and fingers or the tip of your nose, whatever severity of the leprosy that you're facing, as soon as the priest says, "You've got it," you're out of here. And you have to leave your family. You have to leave your synagogue, your church, your community, everything. And you're forced to go out into this colony where everybody that lives there has leprosy. This disease is so feared, is so contagious, that modern day masking and social distancing are a cakewalk compared to it. And when you get moved out to that place, your whole life is living in the middle of disease. Your whole life is now living in abject poverty. And it's a place of social isolation and loneliness like you've never experienced before. Just writing that down for this moment makes me think maybe we do understand this a little better right now than we have. Maybe we do understand the urgency that comes about when we're so desperate and feeling so isolated from one another. Maybe right now is the season that we can best understand what's going on in this story. Now, even with their desperation, these men are polite. I think they're more respectful than I may have even been. They follow the law. They keep their distance. They're unclean. They're untouchable. They have to announce their presence. And Scripture says that they stand at a distance and they cry out for help. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. I want to hug my wife again. I want to kiss my child. I want to worship you. Help, please, restore me. There's a desperation and determination here that we shouldn't just go, oh, it's the story about the lepers. No. These are men that need what only Jesus can provide, and they know it. They know he can provide it. They believe in it. They cry out for it. They have faith that Jesus can actually do this. So the only question becomes, is there room? Is there space? Does Jesus have time in his intentional march to Jerusalem for these men?
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
The crowd, they just see lepers and they're disgusted. They put their nose in their robe because of the stench from the decaying flesh. But Jesus sees men in need with faith in him. So what does he do? When he saw them, he says, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." You see, they have to go to the priest to get their clean bill of health. When you're healed of leprosy, you got to go present yourself to someone who's going to confirm that you're healed and say, "All right, check, go back to your home." Or no, head back to the colony. They have to confirm and verify that the disease is no longer present. And they've been doing it this way in their community since Leviticus. There's an interesting part of the story, though. They're not healed yet. They don't have any evidence to go and show the priest. And it doesn't say it here, but I'm just wondering if there's just at least one of them who's thinking, excuse me, Mr. Jesus, sir, don't you need to heal us first so that we can go show ourselves to the priest? No healing takes place. No spitting and washing, no touching. But the same faith that brought them to Jesus, it's also the same faith that allows them to start walking before the healing begins. You see, Jesus has invited them into their own journey into Jerusalem, filled with intent and purpose and new life and more. And Scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. Their life is miraculously restored to them. Only one comes back. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. I wonder, did he even make it all the way to the priest before he turned around and came back? Was he just so excited that when he got healed, he like, man, I got to go back and tell that guy. His health was restored. He was going to get his life back, and he was so thankful. Jesus would say to him in just a minute, we're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this guy? Now, I don't know about you, but it's easier for me right there to start looking down my nose at the other 9 and think that they're just a bunch of ingrates. Ingrates. Ungrateful. But the truth is their healing lets them go home. The truth is, as soon as they talk to the priest, they can go kiss their wife. There's so much joy that they would be experienced that they would be probably just running pell-mell back to the life that they had before. What was it that made the one guy turn around and come back to Jesus? The key might be that this man was a Samaritan. Yuck! Not a Samaritan. For the Jews, there's only one thing worse than being a leper, and it's being a Samaritan. Much less a Samaritan leper. For them, the Samaritans, they would use such horrible words like hybrid, half-breed. These are people. This whole group of people was created because the Assyrian conquerors of the northern 10 tribes came into the land and started marrying Jewish people. And that's how the Samaritans were formed. They are as unclean and untouchable as the leper. When the crowd heard this little tidbit that the man who's being lifted up the most by Jesus is a leper, they would have been disgusted. Surely, Messiah, surely there is not room in your kingdom for a man like this. Maybe the reason the Samaritan came back so fast is because he's been told all his life he can't even go and talk to the priest who needs to tell him he's clean. He's not allowed in places of Jewish worship. He's not allowed to access the priest. Maybe even as they're going down the road, as the 10 are healed, those 9 travel on, and the one stands there beside of the road feeling hopeless and going, I'm clean now, but I don't even have anybody who can tell me that I'm clean so that I can go back home. And yet he is healed, and he runs back to the one who has done this restorative work in his life. And his desperation is what is matched by his gratitude. And that desperation makes him just want to praise God and thank him for the gift that he has been given. So I'm curious. If Jesus were telling this story to you and me right now, who would the Samaritan be? Who would you and I be shocked to know that they had a place on the way to Jerusalem if they're willing to have faith in Christ? I want to intentionally move you away from thinking from an individual to a people group. The man is a shock in this story, not because it's Steve Jones. It's because he represents unwanted people groups. Lepers and Samaritans. We live in a time where divisions between people groups are so exposed. And like Jesus is exposing on the way to Jerusalem. And some of this exposure in our time between all kinds of different groups, but we see in these conversations in these moments between whites and people of color. It's ending in violence and hate speech, but the exposure is also creating dialogue and healing and hope and change. You see, the restoration of the Samaritan leper points us then and points us now to the ongoing need for restoration between people groups, between us and our neighbor. And the message is loud and clear that there is room on the road to Jerusalem. There is room in the story of restoration for all of us. I'm coming back to this, but first I want you to see one more thing. The restoration, the restoring of the leper's health restores him to a place in society. Not only has his leprosy, his disease been restored, but his joy, his gratitude have been restored. And where did that lead him? Straight to a relationship with Jesus. Straight into the arms of Christ. Because his return to Jesus is more than just deep gratitude. He is praising God in a loud voice. He throws himself at Jesus' feet. And Jesus says to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." It's also just as valid to interpret that phrase, "Rise and go. Your faith has saved you." All 10 were healed. But this one starts a relationship with Jesus. That's going to put him on the road to eternity through Christ our Lord. In just a moment, Bert's going to lead us through the liturgy connected to Holy Communion. You know what that word liturgy means? It's the work of the people. It's our work, church. And this morning, I want you to hear the Christ that is inviting you with resolve and purpose to live abundantly and intentionally on the road to Jerusalem, on the path to restoration. Now, part of the liturgy that we're going to read, that Bert is going to say out loud, he's going to say, and I'm going to ask you to listen for it. You may already know this. You've heard it many times, many of you. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Imagine the Jew and the Samaritan standing side by side, seeking restoration and reconciliation as they say, "By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world." And today, may you and I stand side by side and bring everybody we know into the picture so that together we can say, "By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world." May we find that gift on our road to Jerusalem, on our road to restoration. And may we know that there is room for all who come to Christ, seeing you restoration and hope. God, we're thankful for the way you love us. We're thankful for the way you encourage us and invite us and equip us and pray over us. God, we are thankful that as your people, that we are invited to be drawn close to you. Do the restoring work that only you can do, Lord. And may it all be for your glory through Christ our Lord.